And joining us right now is singer Brian Evans. He's got a CD out called Las Vegas, a special edition. He's going to be performing in Haverhill, Massachusetts, where he's from. And we'll talk about that and some of the other things. But he plays, he sings music that you kind of yearn for if you've been a guy that liked the Sinatras and the folks who sang some of the great music years ago, because that's the kind of music he does as well. Songs like World on a String and Witchcraft and Singing in the Rain, these are the songs that are on the CD that you can grab. It's on BrianEvansOnline.com. You can pick up the CD. Brian, welcome to the show.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm pretty good, pretty good.
Where are you at this point?
Well, I'm up early, which is not normal for me, because I've been doing these station IDs for the record in Indonesia and China and all these Asian places. My record's been doing really well, and on iTunes, it's been.
So, do you speak fluent Chinese?
You know, I don't, but they just email me like the station IDs, and you know, it's funny when you're performing over there, and I've performed in Taiwan. You'll sing a song, and they know every song, every lyric in English. But you'll say, hello, how are you doing? And they look at you like paint drying. It's pretty funny. Like, they know English when it comes to the songs, but not when it comes to talking in between.
I don't know what it means either when we're singing the words.
I don't know, but it's really a pretty interesting thing. So
give me an example. Take out one of those liners and let me hear one of them.
What was that?
Let me hear one of those Chinese liners.
One of the Chinese liners?
Yeah.
You're listening to NBI Rassasonia 103.1 FM Bontang.
So you do it in English?
Oh, yeah, I do it in English.
Oh, I thought they give you, like, a transliteration so that you can do it in Chinese.
No, they have me do it in English. And that's another thing. I'm wondering if they're knowing. But I'm sure they say the station ID enough generally where they know that. On a scale of 1 to 10, Brian Evans is funny.
Yeah, there you go. I did a liner for you. Just take that and just use it.
Yeah, but I don't know what it means.
It means I'll have number 3 with white rice.
Well, we could get beat up.
That would be kind of fun.
Brian means.
So tell me, you're actually from Massachusetts, from Haverhill.
I am, and I think you know I've been opening for Jay Leno here in Las Vegas, who's from Andover.
Right. So what's Jay like to work with?
We talked a lot about that.
How does he like to work with?
He's a really cool guy. I mean, he flies in on his private jet from L.A. to Vegas. He does the show, and he flies out the same night. He never spends a night here when he comes. He just, the Tonight Show tapes at 5 in the afternoon, between 5 and 6. And as soon as he's done with that, he shoots over to Burbank Airport, and 40 minutes he's here, and he's on at 9 o'clock. Well, actually, I'm the one on at 9 o'clock.
And right.
Then I do my 40 minutes, and then there's like a 10-minute little break, and then he comes out and does his thing. And, I was kind of bummed. I never in a million years thought the Michael Jackson trial would affect me, but he canceled dates when he got subpoenaed because there was a gag order on the case.
Right, that's right.
And it was just really bizarre that, Michael Jackson's trial somehow... I mean, it's interesting that it affects people that have absolutely nothing to do with it, and it affected my job because Jay wasn't doing dates.
Has Jay had you sing on a show yet?
No, because I'm working on a new album. The record you have just got signed to BMG. If people go to bmgdirect.com, they'll see that record there, and the one you were just talking about. But I really don't want basically that Las Vegas album was a compilation of several independent albums I'd recorded, and we just put it on one album and kind of put it out there because of the gigs in Vegas and that I was getting so many hits on iTunes. I mean, a ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put that record together, but it's certainly not the record I'd want to waste a spot on the Tonight Show promoting. When you're, doing an audience of 40 million people, I want to make sure that I really have what it is I want out there. And that it's, I've worked a long time to get this far. I mean, years and years and years, and I mean, I remember playing community auditions with Dave Maynard in Massachusetts.
Right.
That was the first live thing I ever did, and now I'm opening for Jay Leno. So it just goes to show that I think perseverance is the key to success. I believe that. And, you know, so I think it's just a matter of taking your punches along the way. You know, the kind of material I do, I'm opening for Social Distortion and Better Than Ezra on the 4th of July. It's a very opposite kind of music than what I do, but it kind of proves that this style of music crosses all borders, and people like listening to it. And, you know, it's just, it's not really an acquired taste. It's outlived every other style for a reason. People have liked it through the generations, and, you know, I mean, the Ella Fitzgeralds, and this song, this material is just like more than 100 years old.
Yeah, it's still just as powerful.
It's still out there.
Yep. I love it. I mean, I can't get enough of it. Had to be you and stuff like that. It's
well,
great
I love
songs.
Doing that stuff. And we just recorded, you know, there's a few new tracks on the Las Vegas CD, Don't Worry, Be Happy. We remade with a 65-piece big band a couple of the 80s hits. We redid Jump from Van Halen, She Drives Me Crazy from the Fine Young Cannibals, and Christopher's The Lady in Red.
Right.
It was recorded at Abbey Road in London. Arranged by a guy named Steve Sidwell, who arranged the movie Moulin Rouge. So it's the same musical guy that put together all the arrangements for the songs on this album, and those are the ones that have been doing just gangbusters on iTunes and Sony Connect, and all these online downloading services have been going crazy. And I think one of the reasons is because if people are even looking for Van Halen's version of Jump, they're getting those as search results. Because, you know, if you type in Jump at Sony Connect, you're going to get Van Halen's and then Brian Evans.
Right.
And so they're listening, I think, out of curiosity and actually liking it because the arrangement's pretty lush and pretty amazing. And it's been doing really well in, like, Canada and all these overseas places. So I'm digging it, you know.
So tell us about Coming Home Again. You're actually going to have a concert back home. It must be amazing.
I got an email from Bill Ryan, who used to be the mayor there, and I'm not really a major fan of going back to Haverhill. Honestly, I was with Rob Zombie, believe it or not. Talk about opposites. And he's from Haverhill, and we were at the Coldplay concert here in Vegas at the Hard Rock, and just playing the Wheel of Fortune machine, right next to him. And I said, what do you think of Haverhill? You said, like, no comment, Matt. I think part of it is because it can be a little stifling. There's like not, how do I put this? The local media wasn't very supportive of either of us, I don't think. Tom Bergeron was sort of their boy. The guy from Hollywood Squares,
sure,
from Haverhill.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the guy that got behind. And you know what? God bless him. He's a great guy. I've met Tom Bergeron.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. But, you know, I think it's just kind of a different mentality. And I was a little hesitant to do anything down there. First of all, there's not really a venue for it, any kind of theaters or anything like that in Haverhill.
Right.
And then I walked into this place called the Chit Chat Lounge or Room or something called the Chit Chat Room on Washington Square in Haverhill, and I really liked it. I liked the fact that it was like this intimate little venue, and I haven't played a place like that in a while. You know, I just was opening for Joan Rivers a couple weeks ago, and it's like 11,000 seats, and, you know, you have a beaming light in your face. You can't even see past the first row, and she has this huge draw in Canada. Where they come out in droves to see her. It was at the Casino Rama in Orillia. And it was a major venue, sort of in the middle of nowhere, and I couldn't believe they packed it out, but they did. And Joan's awesome, and, you know, I'll tell you a quick little story. When I was a little kid living in Haverhill, I used to write different celebrities and say, you know, I want to make it in show business. And, you know, I was just a little kid. I didn't even know what I was doing. I just wrote everybody.
Right.
And the only one who ever responded was Joan Rivers.
Wow.
And she wrote me a letter and said, you know, perseverance is the key to success. Just don't give up. And then, ironically, 15 years later, I was opening for her.
Did so, you told her about the thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I showed her a picture of me and her when I was a kid at the Cape Cod Melody tent, where I actually first started opening for people. Not her, Dionne Warwick and Frankie Valli. And, when I was 17 years old, I was opening for them.
Wow.
And then kind of just went out to L.A., and that's when I started doing Full House and 90210 and all those different shows, which was fun. But really, music's always been what it is I wanted to do.
So what did you do on Full House and 90210?
I was Kimmy Gibbler's boyfriend on Full House. I was the mountain climber dude.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Okay.
Yeah, you know, when DJ broke up with her boyfriend, there was just this guy that was making out with Kimmy all the time on a mountain. And that's the episode people mostly remember. just because, you know, it was like a big thing that DJ broke up with her boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that was kind of a fun thing to do, and Bob Saget was really cool. And, you know, it's kind of been an amazing life already, you know. I mean, I've met amazing people from Frank Sinatra to Johnny Carson, and people that, to me, were always the real talent. You know, they survived, and their careers lasted decades. And they weren't manufactured talent, which is what happens a lot these days, because they're looking for the next Britney and, you know, looks like that. And the thing about Sinatra and Tony Bennett and all those guys is it's real, pure talent, God-given talent that's lasted all this time and sustained them and had them cross borders into new age groups. And, I mean, you know the Tony Bennett aired on MTV special, which was pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's crossed over, and the new generation knows him, too.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing, because it also exposes them to different kinds of music, like the kind that you're doing.
Well, it opens up the avenue for the rest of us to, you know, as far as a new generation doing this style of music, and I think that's really what it's about. And, you know, somebody did it for Tony Bennett and for Frank Sinatra. It was Bing Crosby before them. And
right. Do you have younger people that come to your concerts?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, there are kids with earrings and everything you can put one in, some of them, and it's ironic. It's just like a David Lynch clip, you know, like they're dancing to Sentimental Journey and they're tattooed out. And, well, I mean, the perfect example is me opening for Social Distortion.
Right.
I mean, they are as opposite of me as you can get.
Right.
And yet I'm doing it. I mean, Kiss had Big Bad Voodoo Daddy opening for them. That's a swing band, and I'm talking about doing some opening act dates with those guys.
I think sometimes with the young people, you can be so uncool to be cool.
Yeah, you know, it's really, I think it's about, I mean, the message I would want to convey, especially people from Haverhill and that area, is that it's achievable whatever it is your thing is. And, you know, usually when people think you're crazy, you're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're, and you know, everybody thinks you're crazy until you hit it. Then you were brilliant.
Yeah, Tom Bergeron and Rob Zombie and Brian Evans, I'll say the same thing to you folks listening in Haverhill. Get out while you can! Get out!
Save yourselves. but, you know, I have a lot of family there. I love the people. It's the politics sometimes of little towns. You'll have four or five people running the show, and
that's really like that in any town. We have the same thing where we are.
Yeah, and I never really dug that, and that's kind of one of the reasons I'm really glad to go and you know, I go see my family, my parents, and my mother Helen lives in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, and you know, she loves it there.
Yeah.
And
wait, do you live in Vegas now? Is that where you live?
I have a home in I have a home here in Las Vegas, but I also live on in Hawaii half the year.
Gee, what a tough life you got.
There.
Boy, poor Brian. Are you listening to this, folks? Half the time in Hawaii, half in Vegas. Oh, I'm so sad for you.
You know, yeah,
what a tough life.
Well, it's a little island. Well, it's Maui. It's a city called Wailea in Hawaii, and I'll go there half the year, but I still like fly out of there and do shows from there. It's just kind of where I choose to base myself half the year, and you know, I love it. It's part of my cerebral process is that, you know, I don't want to be one of these guys that you work your whole life and then you retire, because you really never know what's coming around the corner. And I want to enjoy as much as I can while I'm young and see as much as I can now. And you know, I've been to Amsterdam and France and London and just really amazing places that I'm glad I got to see.
Brian, how old are you, if I may ask?
I'm now 30 years old.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're like Josh Groban, you got that young start. You know?
Yeah, Josh, I actually know the guy who got him launched.
He's a great guy. Josh has been on this program a couple of times. And
yeah, he's
nice guy.
Amazing voice. I like another crooner out there named Peter Cincotti. I think he's really good. He's sort of one of the new kids on the block. He's sort of in the more swing than what I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't, you know, like what I do is basically I'm a crooner.
Exactly.
That's how I would classify what it is I do. And for those who don't know what a crooner is, it's like Tony Bennett. It's like Frank Sinatra. And, you know, that's what I've been kind of pursuing now for a long time, and it's a lot more fun now that I'm making a living at it.
Sammy Davis Jr. without the dances.
What was that?
Sammy Davis Jr. without the dance.
Oh, I have, well, without the dance.
Yeah.
No, I do a little of that sometimes.
Yeah, a little dancing, huh? A little soft shoe?
Once in a while if I really get into it, and, you know, but I started playing at clubs like the Whiskey and the Roxy in Hollywood on Sunset, like just these, you know, I was opening for bands called Shonen Knife and Bat Vomit. I mean, it was unbelievable, and I'm surprised I didn't get my butt kicked. But it was a pretty fun experience to try it, and then I went to Canada, and once I got there, that's where I sort of became popular on a national level, was Canada before anywhere else. And I mean, I'm going to do Canada AM next month, which is like their Today Show equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to promote the song success on iTunes in that country.
So where did you end up, how did you learn to sing, Brian? Who taught you it, or did you get it on your own? Were your parents musical or grandparents?
You know, I'm glad I can sing, because I don't know how to do anything else, to be honest. No one really taught me. My grandmother definitely inspired me to do it. She used to always sing, and I remember being a little kid, and she loved to sing. And she sang all this kind of music and got me into liking people that, frankly, didn't make me too popular in high school. Bobby Vinton and Tony Bennett and Sinatra. And, you know, I'd bring their records into school when everyone else was bringing in, you know, Kiss albums.
Right.
And, you know, hey, how about this Bobby Vinton song, Blue Velvet? Isn't it cool? And they'd look at me like I was from another planet. No, Brian, it's not cool. Stuff like that. But, you know, Bobby Vinton's still doing shows to this day, and most of those rock bands are, you know, but a memory, with the exception of, like, a Kiss. You know?
Exactly. Are you married or single?
No, I briefly, I don't even know if I should be saying this, but...
go ahead.
Well, I briefly dated, believe it or not, Angelina Jolie in
Los
Angeles. And my... just a few dates. It wasn't like a big deal.
It only takes one. It only takes one date with her to be memorable, I think.
Yeah, well, her father's an actor named John Voight.
Exactly.
And we were doing a charity in Washington, D.C., trying to get funds raised for the homeless and, you know, helping to feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was introduced to Angie and Jamie Voight. It was nothing serious at all. I mean, it was just several dates. She went to the premiere of a movie I did called Book of Love as my date, and it was really before she did any major films or anything like that, and she was great. She was so shy when I knew her. That's why I'm just blown away at how successful she's become now. I think it's great. I mean, but I've, you know, a lot of people who are now well known, I've had in my life at one point, I was roommates with Seth Green, who's an actor and
mm-hmm.
has done really well. And a friend of mine used to work at this coffee shop in L.A., and it was called Cafe Mocha, and he used to always tell me about this internet thing he was working on. Mm-hmm. His name was Sky Dayton, and he's now the CEO and founder of Earthlink. And I remember that he was just running this coffee shop, and he's become wildly successful. And you know, he's done. I mean, he owns plantations now. So I wish I got a little more involved in that internet project. now that I look back on it.
Yeah, but you have BrianEvansOnline.com though, so you're all set with the internet.
Yeah, it's www.BrianEvansOnline.com.
Yeah, we're going to actually post a link to it with this interview.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to put online after my name because somebody's trying to hit me up for like $10,000 to buy my own.
Isn't that amazing, huh?
Cyber Squad or
yeah,
something.
You could always get BrianEvans.tv or something like that.
Yeah, I could, but, you know, people just, if they search, like, Kerner Brian Evans on Yahoo or Google, all this stuff comes up, or, you know, singer Brian Evans, that mm-hmm. always, that's like the first result that comes up is my website, so.
Yeah, try surfing.
I guess there's a basketball player with my name.
Try Googling PNP Network. It's amazing how many things come up.
Oh, I've already been to your website.
Yeah, it's just amazing, though, how many other sites link to us.
Really?
Yeah, there's thousands of them out there. Every celebrity we have, I mean, you're probably going to put a link on your site to this interview, I would assume, as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're going to link to yours. You know, that's the way it works. So.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of hits on my website lately, mostly because, like I said, the iTunes thing. I never even knew what the hell iTunes was until I went on Canada.com, and I was just doing some research on how my material was doing out there, and there was this big story nationally that Van Halen's Jump becomes a crooner classic, and I didn't know what they were talking about. When I clicked it, I was like, wonder who else did Jump?
Mm-hmm.
And when I clicked it and it had my name on it, I was shocked that they were talking about my version of it.
Mm.
And, you know, just people all over the world have been, I mean, I can't even believe it. Like, Indonesia and Denmark and Belgium, Germany, just places all over the world. It's been Italy. It's been becoming this, like, kind of big thing. So, you know, we'll see how it materializes, what it materializes into. My manager, you probably know him, a guy named Elliot Lott. He handles, like, the Beach Boys. He's mm-hmm. been with them forever.
Right.
And, you know, he's been kind of putting a lot of links together for me. And, you know, it's just a whole other world when you're starting to get into opportunities like this. Like, you know, to me, I've been doing this forever. So when I'm opening for, like, Joan Rivers or, you know, Jay Leno or somebody like that, people look at it and go, wow, that's amazing. But when you're on this road and you've been kind of pounding the pavement all these years to do it, to get the opportunities, you kind of look at it a lot differently, like, wow, I really worked my butt off for this.
Right, of course, yeah.
And, you know, Mom's always in the front row. She is beside herself, and it was so funny. People backstage said that, like, my mom came backstage at one point, and the security detail back there, who is, you know, really tight around Jay, was watching Jay backstage when I was actually on stage opening for him.
Mm-hmm.
And the security said that he got more of a kick out of watching my mother watch me. It's like they said he couldn't keep his eyes off my mother's reaction to me on stage more than he was actually watching me on stage. Like the second time I'd done it with him. And so it was pretty funny and kind of touching because, you know, Jay's mom's no longer with him now, but he still talks about her in his act, and he's just a really nice guy. I was really impressed with how he acted around my mother and treated my mother far more than I was about our own interaction. He was really a great guy, and I think he knew how excited my mother was, not only for me, but just to meet him.
Yeah, the only, you know, I've spoken with Jay, and I liked him a lot. The only negative I've ever heard about Jay was from Howard Stern for him stealing John Melendez.
Well, I've done the Howard Stern show a couple of times back when I was doing Full House.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Howard's kind of an acquired taste. You obviously you like him or you don't, and if you don't like him, you like listening to him. I mean, it's kind of a no lose thing with him. And but he was really a cool guy. You know, off the air, he's totally a different guy. It really is a character that you're hearing on the radio.
Absolutely, he's a real nice guy.
It's sort of like another dimension of Howard Stern, but when that microphone is off, Howard's a really cool guy, and he talks about normal things and asks you about very normal things, and it's sort of like when I was 18, I was at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. It was where I met Frank Sinatra through a comedian that used to open for him named Tom Dreesen. I just happened to be sitting at the table with Tom, and I told him, you know, I wanted to meet him and why I was there. And Ronald Reagan was also there. And what I really found interesting, and I didn't go up to Ronald Reagan because, I mean, I don't think you could have. He was in it was a big ballroom, but he just had so much security around him that you weren't getting near him. And the thing I noticed was that Reagan was just kind of sat there looking at the table the whole time and didn't really react to anybody. But as soon as a camera came over, he just turned on.
Yep.
Like he was another guy.
Mm.
Like this animated. And it was the same thing with Sinatra, really. Sinatra was kind of really quiet and reserved and said very few words. But, you know, I didn't really care if he told me to go to hell. It was Frank Sinatra.
Exactly.
He could have insulted me, and it would have been a compliment. But he was actually very nice to me. But I saw him a few days later performing in this big stadium, Arrowhead Pond in L.A., or near L.A. And it was just another guy than the guy I'd met a few days ago. There's something about performing and being on stage and it's the only reason you really stay in the music business. If you don't have a real passion for performing for people and singing, you would quit because everything about the music business makes you not want to be in it, except being able to sing for people.
Well, it's the same as radio and TV. When I do my TV show and the radio show, when I have a microphone in my hand, I feel much more comfortable than when I'm walking the streets without one. So,
oh, yeah. You know, like I can relate to 10,000 people in an audience way more than I can one-on-one when somebody, you know, just comes up to me. Because it's just a weird transitional place that I find myself in. You know, I'll hear from relatives I don't even know if I'm really related to that will email me. I got an email from a guy who reminded me that he used to develop my film at Walgreens and asked me if I remembered him. He was the guy with the blue jacket. And everybody has a blue jacket at Walgreens. And I had absolutely no idea who the guy was, and I felt kind of bad, but, you know, this is sort of what I'm finding happens. Like,
but Elliot, you told him you remembered him, though, right?
I really didn't.
No, but did you tell him that?
No.
Oh. See, I would have said that, too. I have people doing that all the time. I remember you from, you know, Randolph, whatever. I always say, oh, yeah, I remember you.
Well, no, it was sort of like a thanks. So, you know, so, oh, yeah, thanks. But, you know, I really didn't remember. Maybe if I saw his face, I would. But, you know, just a couple days ago, Elliot called me. And, you know, the Beach Boys have had a lot of stalkers over the years. So he kind of knows. I mean, he himself has had them, just being their manager. And, you know, I guess somebody called for me a couple days ago and really convinced him that we knew each other. And then, so for some fluky reason, he got in touch with me directly. Thanks, Elliot.
Yeah.
And basically, I'd never met this guy before, and he was asking me all sorts of really bizarre questions. And I was very nice and tried to be gracious about it and said, thanks for calling, but...
Don't call again.
And, you know, but it's kind of interesting. And, you know, when you look at your whole, like for me anyway, sometimes you go, man, things take so slow. But when I look at my whole life, it's about the ride. Because everybody is leaving with exactly what they came with. It doesn't matter how successful they get, how much money they get. They aren't taking anything with them. So that's why I have like a home in Maui, and that's why I travel to these different places, because it's really about the ride and having a great time and who you meet and trying to overcome adversities even if you're the main problem. You know, like for a long time I was my worst enemy, and I think I lost a lot of friends because of that. When I, you know, but I think a lot of it is it's such a self-absorbed business.
Right, but do you have any friends from Haverhill still that you grew up with, any that you're really still close to?
I have a couple, but I'm really close to my family there and my nephew and niece who goes to Haverhill High School there. And, you know, I'm really close to them. I have a couple friends, but, you know, no one whose name I'd mention because I don't want them bugged.
Yeah, no, I understand. Because I still have a couple of friends that I grew up with in Randolph that I still hang with and, you know, at least talk to occasionally. And it's a good thing to it keeps you grounded when you still hang with the people that went to nursery school with, you know?
No, I have a friend, Danny, who now lives in Arizona, who is from Haverhill, and he's one of my best friends. And at least when I'm hanging out with him, I know it doesn't matter what I do, or I'm going to hear the bottom line. And I, you know, and I've needed more of those people. You know, I mean, I remember when I used to know Vince Vaughn in L.A., and he was just sort of a struggling actor, and he became this rocketing star in film.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of those people that I've met along the way, I'm no longer friends with, and a lot of them I've remained friends with. One of the reasons is probably because I never watch anything they're in.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll have a friend who's an actor call me and say, hey, have you seen this movie I just did? And I'll say, no, and why? And the reason is I never want to become a fan of some of these people, or my perception of them alters in some way. And
But I assume that you'd want them to listen to your music, though, right?
That's up to them.
Yeah.
If they want to, if it work, if they're able to detach from that. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, I know how L.A. is. It's one of the reasons I don't live there.
Yeah, exactly. I lived there for a while. It's so artificial and superficial.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
And I don't want to spend, I don't want to be 80 years old someday looking back on my life and saying, man, I lived around a bunch of people who were completely full of it.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who were able to function that way. But, you know, I was able to take my nephew to Maui not too long ago, and, you know, we did everything, parasailing, scuba diving, I mean, freaky, amazing things, whales going by the boat, and, you know, those are the experiences I find a lot more real, because you'll never forget it.
Right.
And, you know, when you look at, well, I'm in L.A. and I'm at this party or that party, who cares? How much alcohol can you drink?
Exactly.
You know, and who else can you meet? You know, once you meet people like Sinatra and Johnny Carson, and, you know, you kind of met, who can you meet really that's going to impress you when you start to meet some of those people that have been around and are iconic, you know?
Well, the only one I haven't met yet that I want to meet is Pamela Anderson.
You know, I haven't met her.
And that's the only one I want to meet. I've met everybody else I've ever wanted to meet, but except for her.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind meeting her myself, but you know, she's an interesting lady. She's actually in Vegas quite frequently.
Really? Well, then you should arrange to meet her then.
Yeah, fat chance.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Just get a bunch of tattoos,
change
the music a little bit, and there you are. You know,
yeah, Big Ben crooner. But then again, opposites attract. That seems to be story of my life.
They just have a new nickname, Brian Motley Evans, and you know, you should change the whole act up, that's all. But hey, listen, folks, if you want to get this CD, it's great. I really, really enjoyed this music because I love the songs on this. This is great. Everything from Lady in Red to The Last Waltz and Jump and Singing in the Rain and Witchcraft. And again, there's new stuff coming out. So keep in touch with Brian by going to brianevansonline.com. And Brian, maybe when the new CD comes out, we'll talk again.
Yeah, I'd love to. And, oh, by the way, people can also get it if they go to iTunes and just search my name.
And what is the date and time and all that stuff of the concert in Massachusetts?
Oh, I'll be playing. I'm doing some dates in Canada. Then I go down to Haverhill on July 31st. I'm going to see some family and friends there and just kind of make a fun night of it. It's going to be with a big band. Then I'm off to Indonesia. It kind of interesting to do this gig in between these other colossal dates, you know what I mean?
That is kind of funny, though.
You know, but I like it, and I'm trying to get a few people that I know to come down. I spoke with, believe it or not, William Shatner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who's actually a friend of my whole family's, and invited him down. I'm still waiting to see if he can clear the schedule. He came down and went on a boating trip with us once.
Hey, but watch out, he might go on the stage and sing a song.
He actually came to one of my shows and did a couple songs Kirk-like. I'll send you a tape of that. You got to see it.
That would be great.
Yeah, it's funny as hell. You should play it, actually. I'll ask him if you can, but you should totally play it.
If I can, I will.
Lady is a Tramp.
That's why the lady is a tramp.
Anyway. He's like, that's why a lady is a tramp. And then he did What Kind of Fool Am I, but he changed the lyrics around his own life.
I like his version of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. It's legendary.
Well, he's so iconic himself, you know, everywhere he goes. He's just everywhere he goes. It's unbelievable, the reaction.
Yeah, people love him.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah,
even the ones who hate him, they love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the way around. He's a great guy.
Brian, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, you too.
We'll do it again sometime.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.